All right, I'm starting to record. Guys, I want to disclaim, which I always do, or I think, not I always disclaim, but I hope I'm always comfortable with the disclaim. Like, I am learning as much as you guys are learning as we're going. So I did a lot of thinking between last class and this class because I got questions from several of you, some of whom are on this call, some of whom are listening or whatever. So I got a few questions that were kind of a little distressed. They were like, oh my God, how do I do this without feeling like I'm biting off more than I can chew? And I got it from not only one person. So that made me feel like I had to kind of go back and work through a little bit of both what we're learning and also how I'm teaching what we're learning. So I'm gonna shift and I'll tell you how we're gonna shift a little bit. And also just so you know, like the more that you do that, the more that this could be something that's like more productive. So the line is always open. You know what I mean? Like lechatchila, always open, always super, super open. Please, it's really helpful for me and for everybody else. And I do feel like basically before I was like writing notes and then kind of like giving it over, and now I'm like, I think that's one thing I'm shifting is that I think I need to do a lot more processing of it a little bit before I speak it over, and mostly in terms of shifting it into a little bit more of like the emotional space and the practical space. So that's kind of like the work that I'm doing as I like process through this is that shift. The other thing is that it really, like, we're going pretty slowly. Like, we're in the introduction, and he has, like, right now 10 ways that, like, a Bobby Tafone is different than an alchemist. And, like, I listened to, like, three or four, I'm not sure if it was three or four, but at least three or four classes from Rav Leuchter, and we only got through like two more, like number three and number four of how it's different. So I'm also just like, it's going a little too slow. That's how I feel. So for the next class, I think I'm just gonna listen to like a whole bunch of them and we'll get through like all like six, seven, eight, nine, and 10. You know what I mean? Or what are we on? Three and four. So like five, six, seven, eight, nine, and 10, and then keep going. So I'm also gonna try to do a little bit faster of a pace through Chovos HaLevavos. Fine, so that's like just the intro before we even start. Okay, so now let's start. Here's what we're doing today. We're gonna review for again 15 seconds, just making sure that we're setting where we are in Chovos HaLevavos. We're gonna do number three and four, which is where we're up to of the difference between the alchemist and the Baal Bitachon, and the point being to talk about the Baal Bitachon, right? What is Bitachon? What does that mean? What does it look like? Also practically, and then go a little bit into some of the questions, or at least just like try to get a little bit of a different sense, in a way that's like a little bit more attainable and practical and emotional around like what it is that we're doing. Even as we're not sure what we're doing because we're still all the way in the beginning, we're still in the introduction. Okay, got it? Good. So that's the agenda for today. So I'm gonna share my screen and let's go pretty quickly. I mean, these have been pretty quick, but like let's go into Chovos HaLevavos. So here it is. Okay, we are on. Oh, sorry, hold on a second. Stop share for a second. Let's just talk about last time. Okay, last time we talked about again the principle definition of bitachon that we're dealing with right now, and we're gonna again talk a little bit more about it at the end. But is that right now? In my life right now, there is avoda for me to do. There is something for me to do that Hashem is interested in. So those three parts. Right now, there is avoda for me that Hashem is interested in. Okay, so that's our definition of bitachon. Before we talked about the attitude that comes of it, right? Saying the attitude is that I prefer work to attainment. I actually like think that we should phrase that in a different way, and I've been chewing this over a little bit. It's true that that's the attitude, but really, what does that mean? And that means a perspective shift for us, okay? And this is important, and again, we're gonna keep seeing this come up again and again in Chovos HaLevavos and how we're learning it, which is that it's a perspective shift. And often when we talk about bitachon, we think of bitachon as being very future focused, right? I want something in my future, or I want something right now and I don't have it right now. So bitachon kicks in me trying to get something for my future. I want parnasa, I want a shidduch, I want kids, I want security, I want job fulfillment, I want something, okay? I want something. And that's where bitachon comes in, is us being future focused and trying to get it. Versus this is the shift. The shift is that bitachon starts where we are right now in our reality. And what do we mean when we say bitachon? We mean our relationship with Hashem. Where Hashem comes in our reality is not about that thing in the future that I want that I don't have. Our relationship with Hashem and where Hashem comes into my life is right now. Okay, so that's again the basic perspective shift that we have to have whenever we're talking about bitachon. It's right here, right now. Okay, fine. So let's go further. Last time we talked about the difference between this like alchemist. Again, the alchemist is not someone who is like this like heebie-jeebie, I mean, he is in heebie-jeebie whatever, but the point of how it applies to us today also is that the point of saying the alchemist is somebody who feels like they're on the search for the good life. Okay, so the alchemist is this prototype of a kind of person who is searching for the good life in the same way that the Baal Bitachon is searching for a good life. Okay, they're similar personalities, they're similar people. Just the difference is the alchemist, so to speak, quote unquote, right? Nicholas Flamel and Harry Potter, right? The alchemist is looking for it through practical means, something about the world. He's trying to get it out of the world. And the Baal Bitachon is trying to get it from somewhere else, which is like deeper and at the same time higher than the world around him. Okay, so that's the difference between them, and that's what we're mapping out right now. Okay, number one and number two that we did last time is that the alchemist, so to speak, is dependent on certain things in reality versus the Baal Bitachon could work no matter what. Okay, and the second one is that the alchemist could like accidentally get injured on the way, or like even his search for the good life itself could hurt him, versus the Baal Bitachon never has to fear anything hurting him. Like he's always just starts at ground zero of like, what does Hashem want from me here right now? Okay. So again, the prototype, when I'm thinking about this, again, I told you about this last time, right? I'm thinking about the alchemist. I'm not thinking about like some like heebie-jeebie guy with like a Rube Goldberg machine and like a underground lair. I'm thinking of like, it's weird, but I'm thinking of like that guy, right? Like that I told you about last time from the Dominican Republic, who was like super secretive and didn't tell anybody his name and was like running away because like he needed this like refreshment, and then he was gonna go back to life, and he was obviously some like big status someone, and like was super nice and kind and refused to tell us a shred of anything about his actual life. Okay, so like he's my prototype. Like he needs to go to the Dominican Republic, he needs that kind of vacation in order to be able to function in the good life. And the Baal Bitachon is, so to speak, like has a different flavor to it. Okay, so here we go, sharing. Here we go. Okay, Shlishi, the third thing that they're different. And again, the point of this is not to talk about the alchemist, so to speak, it's to talk about the Baal Bitachon. Shlishi, Baal HaKimia, the alchemist, Eino Ma'amin Al Sodo, Zula So, Meira So Al Nafsho. He doesn't tell anybody who he is because he's afraid that they're not going to like him. Okay, so, or they're going to basically harm him for who he is. Okay, so again, this is kind of like the alchemist prototype in the olden days, so to speak, which is that the alchemists were part of this like secret society of people who were all, again, like in their underground secret lairs, trying to like figure out which things, which potions to mix with other things and what elements to mix in order to like get the good life magically out of something in the physical world, right? But they're all part of the secret society, and they're part of the secret society for a very good reason, which is that they're threatening the fabric of established society, right? They're trying to figure out how like everyone else is working and paying their taxes and doing whatever, but like we're gonna hack life in our little basements with like the sorcerer's stone. Okay, so again, he's threatened the alchemist naturally by who he is. Like who he is makes him at risk. Hi Bacheva, I had to see who that was, sorry. Now I'll keep sharing again. Okay, Habotech Belokim Einenu Yore Mishum Adam Bibitchono Aval Hu Mitzpah Erba Kamo Shomar, etc., etc. Okay, the Baal Bitachon is not saying the alchemist, since he's a human, has to be worried that someone's going to steal his sorcerer's stone or steal his stuff. And the Baal Bitachon, he has batacha, so he's not going to. Right? It's that the alchemist is afraid to tell people that he's an alchemist because being an alchemist is threatening to him. The Baal Bitachon is not afraid. He's not afraid to tell anybody that he is a Baal Bitachon. But he's proud of it. It's something that he's proud of. Okay, so again, this sets up a certain contrast, meaning what does this teach us about the Baal Bitachon? That's the question, right? And it teaches us this fascinating thing called individuality. And here's how it teaches us this, in bitacha, okay? Which is that the alchemist has to be part of this secret elite club of people who get it. So the world becomes made of two people, the people who are alchemists, and they're all in this like amazing journey, and the people who aren't because they're just normal, you know, ordinary plebeian humans. Ha, let's scoff at them. Okay, and the Baal Bitachon never falls into that trap. Because you don't need to be part of a magical secret society in order to have bitachon. It is accessible to everybody equally in all times, and we actually mean that, including yourself. Right, so you yourself have as much access to this thing called bitachon, which means, again, let's say it again, and I'm going to say it like I'm spinning it in a little bit of a different way than we have right now. Hashem is interested in me right now. And Hashem is equally in me right now. I don't have to be part of an elitist, amazing club of people who Hashem is interested in. Hashem is interested in everybody all the time, including me, when I'm in a good place and when I'm in a bad place. I saw this so mifurash when Rav Leuchter was talking about, and we referenced it before, and I'm going to reference it again, when he's talking about Chaim Walder. And his basic assumption was like, Chaim Walder, after the whole scandal and everything came out, and he was like in literally the pits of where a human being could possibly be, so much so that he killed himself, right? Like, Rav Leuchter's assumption there was like his his starting point of bitachon, right? His assumption that God is interested in him and his avodas Hashem is just as much and just as true as the Rosh Hashiva of the Mir. He didn't say that explicitly, but that is the truth. You don't have to be part of like the special yeshiva and the special shir and the special whatever to have this bitachon that Hashem is interested in you and your reality right now. Hashem is always interested in you and your reality right now, no matter what you're struggling with and no matter what's going on and no matter how good of a place you are or how bad of a place you are in, your avodah Hashem, what Hashem is asking of you in your world always includes God being interested in you. Always. Okay, so again, so that was the third piece of it, of the difference between the alchemist and the Baal HaBateach. Okay, here's the fourth. Haravi'i, and again, the next time we're going to do 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. We'll do them a little faster, okay? Haravi'i, ki Baal HaKimia, the alchemist, eino nimlat mehazmin mehazav vakasav harbe le'is tzorcho, o shelo yazmin mehem klum, ela kifisha yisbok lizman muat. Okay, so the alchemist always has to have prepared some of the ingredients that he needs to try to make a sorcerer's stone, so to speak, right? He needs to have gold, he needs to have silver, he needs to have all sorts of things available so that he could do the thing that he's trying to do, which is have the good life, right? He needs a certain amount of ingredients available. Otherwise, he's stuck because he needs ingredients. We talked about that in number one, but he also has a formula, right? He has to follow a certain formula. And if he gets stuck at any stage of the formula and he doesn't have the ingredients, he doesn't have what he needs, he can't do what he wants to do. And he gets shut out of this good life, right? And again, you see the theme here developing, right? It's not about anything in the physical world that it always starts exactly where we are with exactly what we already have. That's the root of bitachon, and that's what we're saying here. I might just read through all these and like skip them. I don't know. I have to like figure out what we're doing for next time because I don't want it to take that long. Hi, Ayelet. Hi. Hello. Okay, so again, next time we might go like a little bit faster. But here, again, we see the theme developing here, which is that you don't need anything. There's no ingredients. There's no formula. It's not future focused. It is always dependent on every individual. And it is exactly the same for everybody, including ourselves, all the time. All the time. That Hashem is interested in us right now. Okay, so again, this alchemist, he needs to have a formula, he needs to have a bunch of ingredients. Okay, so again, this alchemist who has to like gather all his ingredients, either he's stuck because he's always trying to find his ingredients so he can follow the formula, or he gathers all the ingredients so that he can follow the formula, then he's nervous about losing the ingredients to follow his formula, right? Meaning you see his life in his attempt to follow the good life is strapped to a physical reality that constrains him, that makes him anxious. Okay, that's the opposite of the Baal HaBateach. You're not strapped to the physical reality, and again, in a certain way, nothing makes you anxious. Don't worry, we're talking about it next. Don't worry, I promise. This is like number 2 and 3 in my little outline. And the next part is like, let's be a little bit more practical about it. That's where we're going, okay? But ideally in this conception, the Baal HaBateach, someone who has done this, who has accessed the good life from a place of bitachon, he relates to his world in a much calmer way. Even though he's seeking the good life also, not because he's achieved the good life per se, but his seeking of the good life is a lot more, has a lot more equanimity, okay? Im lo yazmi mehem, okay, we'll skip that. Haboteach belokim, okay? One who is a boteach belokim, someone who has bitachon. Bitchono chazak belokim, she yitruf oso kirtzono. Be'is she yirtza, uvemokom she yirtza. A Baal HaBateach has absolute equanimity. He's not trying to follow a certain formula that he's already laid out. He has not pegged his end point of like, this is what I want, and this is how I control my reality to get what I want out of reality. That's not how he functions. Again, it's like, it's hard to wrap our minds around because that's how we, I think, affiliate a little bit with bitachon, right? We associate bitachon with, bitachon right now kicks in our lives if we're trying to get somewhere that we're not yet there. That's when we start calling upon bitachon. So bitachon in our lives right now is founded on the premise that we don't have what we want or need for a good reason for avodas Hashem, and we're trying to get Hashem on the same page as us to give it to us. Okay, so bitachon is therefore predicated on Hashem giving me what I want in my world for a good reason. Okay, the whole premise of this is like, that's nice maybe, but it is not bitachon. Bitachon is not predicated on a formula. It doesn't have a formula, and it's not looking into the future and trying to get somewhere and control our reality to make sure that we get there, including one of the pieces that we're going to add in reality is like tefillah and bitachon. That's not what we're doing. We're looking at our lives right now, and we are saying, I know for certain that what is wanted of me right now, I have access to already. I have every ingredient that I need to do what's asked of me right now. I have all the things I actually need in my life. I have all the inner potential, and I have Hashem's eyes and interest on me at all times. This, where I am right now, is what's important to Hashem. Maybe I'll get what I want. Maybe I'll get to where I want, and hopefully I will. And that's part of what I'm davening for. And it's part of what I have bitachon around. I have bitachon around the fact that Hashem always gives us the things that we want and need in order to do that avodas Hashem that's asked of us right now. One second, I had another thought and I forgot what it was. I'm not sure. Okay, hopefully it'll come back to me. Okay, right, and where does the Baal Bitachon learn this from? He learns it from like a very simple looking at his world, right? A Bitachon is about our relationship to the world around us. Emuna is about our relationship to like higher concepts and bigger picture and like Hashem as the creator of the world and the sustainer of the world. And Bitachon is about how I perceive my current reality right now and whether or not I see Hashem in it. And Baal Bitachon sees Hashem's interest in his world right now. And hopefully also in the future when he gets what he wants and does his avodas Hashem with it. Of course, that's part of it. But it's founded on right now. Hashem is already interested in me. No matter what, at any point, undifferentiated. Hashem's interest is always exactly the same. When I'm in a bad place, when I'm in a good place, when I messed up and now I'm doing tshuva, Hashem is just as interested as when I'm soaring high and I'm doing a ton of Torah and mitzvos and I'm learning and davening and doing whatever. Right? Like Hashem's interest in what I'm doing with my life is exactly the same. And again, where does he learn this? Okay, b'mokom sheyirtza, kasher yitarif ha'uber b'rachay mimo, v'ha'efroch b'soch ha'beitza. Right, the Baal Bitachon looks around him and he sees a world in which people have what they need. Not only people, everything has what they need, even in these kind of like miraculous ways. How did that thing get what it needed to grow? How did like the baby in its mother's womb get what it needed to grow into like a little human? But it did. How did like the little egg, right? Like we were in a museum, we saw this like little dinosaur and an egg. They had like a dinosaur egg. It's like, how did that dinosaur in that egg get what it needs to grow into like a real giant, enormous dinosaur thing, right? And that's what he sees. He looks around at the world and he sees that people have everything, all aspects of God's world are given what they need to grow. And he looks therefore at his own reality and he says, I have been given also what I need to grow. And hopefully, again, grow towards the thing that I want for good reasons, and I'm justified. But my relationship with Hashem is predicated on that. At every step of the way of getting there, Hashem is already and currently interested in my reality and in me getting towards that place. Not only when and if I get toward that place, that's when my bitachon kicks in. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit more. I'm sorry, I'm not pausing. But I think like the questions are going to be about the practicality. So let's get into the practical piece of it. And then we'll ask questions at the end. Okay. Is that okay? Hi, Daniela.
I'm back.
Hello. Welcome back. Okay. So. Sorry, one second. Okay. So let's talk again a little bit more practically of. I think that it's not going to work. And this is what I kind of realized last time. Like I've kind of been like in a limbo being like, this all sounds really theoretical. Let's see where it goes. Okay. And that's, I don't think really good enough for us. I think we have to say like what right now, as we're working through this right now, are we already in our reprogramming of ourselves? And how do we not feel like we're taking too big of a chunk out of this to be able to like really chew on it and process it. Okay. So let's again, set the ground rules right now. Bitachon is about, and again, this is what I kind of want to start focusing on a little bit more when we talk about it. Bitachon is about the very basic belief that Hashem is interested in me right now, which means, therefore, that no part of my life and no moments or stage in my life is necessarily mediocre, right? There's no such thing as like a part of my life or what I'm going through that is only a means to the end of another part of my life that I'm actually trying to get to. right? That doesn't work. It's not like right now I don't have parnasa, but the only reason I don't have parnasa is because Hashem wants me to daven so that I do have parnasa. So like when I do have parnasa, then I can do my avodas Hashem. But right now I'm just, the whole point of this is to get there, right? That's not how bitachon works. It's not, right? Right now, where I am in right now, Hashem is interested in me and what's going on. And we call that basic, we call that process avodas Hashem, right? Avodas Hashem means looking at my life and finding the place where something about that is calling to me. It's basically about looking at my life and finding already the voice of God in my life. It's not about presenting to God my own voice and telling him what I would like out of my life, right? Because why? Again, that's too future focused. That's about something else that I don't have. And the basis of bitachon is that I have what I need, and Hashem is interested in me doing something with what I already have and what I already need. That's all I need, is what I already have, right? And it's, so that piece, it's listening to my life and finding a piece, a small piece, a big piece, often a small piece, where we already hear ourselves resonating with what it sounds to us is asked of us in our lives, okay? So let me give you an example, and then we'll take questions, okay? Because otherwise, again, what's the problem? Right? The problem is that bitachon really starts for us. Like, it's all fine and dandy to talk about bitachon when we're not struggling with bitachon, right? So, like, there are certain times in my life where I know that I struggled much more with bitachon than other times in my life. And it sounds very different to talk about bitachon when we are struggling and when we're not struggling. And that's where bitachon feels like a struggle, is if what I want for my life does not seem to be what my life is currently presenting me, right? That's when we start to struggle with bitachon in a big way. And to say at those times, well, look at your world and what Hashem is really asking of you is exactly what's needed of you and you have everything to succeed, it feels very much like it's not true. So that's the question, is like in those times when we're struggling, where's the first step, right? What do we do next? How can we make this a belief that we're trying to, like, how do we start like growing this belief system within us that Hashem is with me right now in the life that I have, and this is what he wants of me, nothing else, right? Because otherwise it smacks of despair, right? Like Rav Leuchter talked about that. He gave an example. He said, like, you know, it's a, to say like everything that happens is for the best, and like, don't worry, Hashem only gives, you guys all know this, I hate this, like, Hashem only gives struggles to people who can handle it. Like, I can't stand that, right? Because that sounds to me like despairing, and it sounds to me also very dismissive and inhuman. It's too much to ask someone who's really struggling with bitachon, and they really want something and need something for a good reason, because they're good people, and they want it and need it for avodas Hashem. Right, to say to them, be calm like a bala bitachon. Don't need any ingredients from the world like a bala bitachon. Be like someone who's going out to war and who doesn't really care about their life and their kids and their property and whether or not it's all going to be confiscated like a bala bitachon. It's too big. It really is. It's too big for us. So where does it start? Okay. Where does it start? So again, it starts in finding a piece, a small piece of our reality right now that is already speaking to us in the voice of God. So again, that's also why we have to have that ingredient of individuality in bitachon. I can never tell anybody what that is for them. I could try to work it out with somebody, like I could speak it out, but there is no formula for this. There is no way that a bala bitachon goes about this. Everyone has to find that voice for themselves because it will resonate with you, okay? So here's an example, right? Rav Leuchter, it's fascinating. When he was giving this series of classes, Meiron happened partway through, okay? So it happened like within like the third or fourth class. And he gave the class right after he'd heard the news. And he was like hoarse almost. And he was like, I can't talk about Meiron and Bitachon. I can give you the class I was going to give anyways. I just woke up and heard this news. I can't process it and I can't talk about it. Okay. And then he gave like a series of classes afterwards also. But by the time I got to like the seventh or eighth class or whatever it is, like since Meiron happened, this is how he was talking about it, right? So again, Meiron, you can't take the larger perspective of like, this is why it happened. Everything Hashem does is for the best. Those were beautiful, special neshamas and Hashem called them home. Or like, there's a lot of things that we say, but like, they're inhuman to say them to anyone who's experiencing them, even if it's us experiencing it in the moment, right? Like, it's a little too much. So he said, you know, his avoda of bitachon, when it came to Meiron. This is what it looked like from Rav Leuchter. And again, it's an awesome example. And then I'll give you another example and then we'll break for questions. He said, you know, he's 65 and nobody lives to be 130. So he knows that he's already more than halfway through his life. So he said, basically, his confrontation with Meiron, he had to do something. He had to find God speaking to him somewhere in Meiron. Not in the Emunah, all that happens is for the best, right? In his life, what is Hashem asking of him being a recipient of hearing this kind of news? And he said it basically shook him in terms of Yom HaMisa, right? The day of death. And he says, like, it when he thought about it, he thought to himself, basically, and he doesn't exactly spell this out super explicitly, but he thought to himself, like, I'm going the same way. I'm also, at some point, going to have to leave the world. So my connection to the world is not all that is a value to me. I have to have something else that's a value to me. So he started thinking about, where are my kochos being used very much in connection to the world, that they could be used in a way that's a little bit more spiritual, basically, and less connected to the world. So he said his, like, power of imagination, he's always, like, imagining things, whatever, that was, like, his example. And he says, like, instead of using my imagination in the world that I see, why don't I use my imagination in the world that I don't see? Why don't I use my imagination a little bit more in tefillah and learning, okay? So again, it's not necessarily an example that I would ever think of, but that's what it was. He's like, I'm not saying Meiron happened because of that reason, or that that's what Meiron was supposed to teach me, but it was finding a piece of what happened that he could genuinely, right now, start to work on. He gave another example in a different shiur, like, about a different topic, but it was related. And it was, like, awesome. Frankly, he gave this example. The first time I heard him speak was in Tomer Devorah. He was Rabbi Rosen, Rabbi Fixes, like, one of their rabbis. He lived in remote at the time, and he came to Tomer Devorah, and he gave this example when I was there. And I heard it again on a shiur, and I was, like, so excited because he gave, like, way more details to it this time. But I remember that's what he talked about. He talked about Emunah, and this was, like, the example that he gave. So he said that he had a kid who came to his yeshiva at some point who came from a very broken home. Whatever that means, he didn't describe it, but the kid came from, like, a very, whatever, distressing situation and was, like, a real talented, genuine, driven, great kid who thrived in the yeshiva and then got married to a woman who had a similar background to him. And they got married and then they were living in Eretz Yisrael and, like, living the high life, basically, in one way or another. And he said, like, the one thing that characterized their households based on the flip side of where they came from is that everything was exactly misudar, like, super orderly. Their kids were always dressed, like, to the T. Their house was always completely clean and perfect. Their kids were always, like, had the bow on and that ponytail done. And, like, everything was exactly misudar. And it was almost, like, their way of, like, coping a little bit, it sounded like, right? In one way or another, like, that was in parentheses. It was, like, their way of kind of coping and making sure their reality was always controlled for. And he said, like, then they had one of their later kids was born, had Down syndrome when she was born. He was born, I don't know, she was born. And they were, like, shocked. They didn't know that it was coming. And they said, Rabbi Luchter said that the guy called him from the hospital room and was, like, out of his mind in agony, right? So he said, and Rabbi Luchter talked about a different friend of his who's, like, who also has a Down syndrome kid. And he's like, if anyone tells me, like, such a beautiful neshama, it's so beautiful that Hashem gave you that neshama, like, it's so nice, you're going to take care of the neshama. He's like, Rabbi Luchter said, his friend says that it feels like someone's, like, putting a knife in him and twisting it. Because, like, that's not how his daily reality actually is. Right, so Rav Leuchter's not going to say to this guy, oh, but it's so beautiful and Hashem gave you it and Hashem only gives people stuff that they could handle. Right, like that's not, it's emunah, it's unrelated to the person's reality at the moment and it's too much and it isn't bitachon. Bitachon is how you relate to the world that you've been given right now. How is this guy going to relate to his world right now? It's exactly what he didn't want and exactly what he felt like he can't handle. So Rav Leuchter said that he was stressed out about it and eventually like went and, you know, whatever, within a few days went to this guy and met with him and met with his wife and started talking to them. And he said that they were trying to get their handle on this question, right? Like which piece of this could speak to them right then? Which piece of it did they feel like was something that Hashem was speaking to them within this reality that they had? It's not going to mend it. It's not going to solve it. It's not going to be a refuah shalima. We're all going to dive in for a refuah shalima for this kid. Right? It's not going to be something like that. So Rav Leuchter said to them, listen, I've noticed that one of your basic characteristics of your life and your lifestyle and your basic value of your home is misudar, is order, right? Is seder, order, orderliness. And he said, this kid is going to challenge that value for sure, right? This kid is never going to be orderly. They're never going to be clean. They're never going to be like that cute little kid that you could line up with the bow in their hair. But if you do everything right by this kid, the kid will show you true happiness. The kid will show you simcha. And one of the things, maybe, and Rav Lichter was like saying it as a suggestion. He could, again, it's not a formula. He can't tell the guy. But he was saying to him, you're finding in this, one of the things that you could hear in your life, here, is the challenge to one of your basic values, which is Seder. But the challenge can help you grow a different basic value, which you might want to grow in your home a lot more, which is Simcha. And he said the guy was like shifted. And he said like then Rav Lichter left, and he said he didn't see him for another year. And then the next time he saw him in the marketplace or whatever, somewhere in the shuk, whatever, the guy like ran up to him and said, you know, that's what changed. Taka, like that's what changed. That's what we changed. And that's what changed in our household over the course of the year is that we lightened our grip on Seder and we strengthened our grip on Simcha. So again, it didn't solve everything. It's still super hard, right? It's still something that like daily by day. So again, that's it, right? It's the not obsessing about the future piece of this and how it has to resolve and the formula of how that has to happen. And it's just right now what is being asked of me and how can I show up to that ask? That because Hashem is interested in me here, because there's a voice of God asking me something in my life right now, whether or not it resolves. It's not faith that God will resolve this for me. That's not how we use the term bitachon. I mean, it's maybe how we use the term bitachon, but it's not what bitachon is. It's right now what is here already from Hashem that is being asked of me that I could show up for because Hashem is already here with me in this. And what do I do next? Okay, so sorry to have spoken that whole time. Questions? Okay, it's a lot to process your faces. Those of you who I do see your faces and those of you who don't see your faces, like this is how it's hard. And I feel like also myself processing it as we're going. I'm trying to process it a little bit more before I get here. That's like my new, like whatever, Kabbalah for myself is to try to process this a little bit more and to try to speed up the rate at which we go through Chol Bos HaLevavos. So again, seriously, your questions and comments outside of this are like very helpful and just being able to, they challenge me and they make me try to figure stuff out. I don't 100% know where this is going, but this sounds like the first step. Find something small and tiny and small, but real where Hashem is already speaking to you. And that process day by day, step by step, that is what is bitachon. It's not like a cute little like, oh, you know, it's like a sacrifice to bitachon. Like we can't do the whole thing, so let's do a little thing. No, that is what it is. That is what it is. It's hearing already that your reality is interested in you and that no matter what, times where I'm in a good place, times where I'm in a bad place, times where I do have parnasa, when I don't have parnasa, when I do have what I want, when I don't have what I want, when I do have job status, when I don't have job status, when I do have reputation, when I don't have reputation, when I do have a shidduch, when I don't have a shidduch, when I do blah, 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 it doesn't matter. All of those, there's no point at which you're more elite than any other point. Hashem is always interested in me 100%, exactly where I am right now. Carrie.
Yeah, definitely like still processing, like I don't have like a ton to say, but it like I feel a little bit better than last time. Like I literally was listening and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I am never gonna get there. Like they're like, okay, like it was just too much and we like I just couldn't, I don't know, I like really was having a hard time with it. So this feels like a little bit easier to, like, just like more attainable, at least to some level.
Yeah.
But yes, like a lot of thinking.
I know. I think so too. I think like it takes a lot to process and it is different than what we've always heard of bitachon a little bit, you know what I mean? Which like makes it feel, it's not even like natural. Like I see this all over the place. Like, I'm going to turn off my recording for a second.